Yeah,
for kids.
Bring it up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Guess it is up, Dave. Good evening. I'll bet. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
I'm betting now I'm Dave Binkley from We Miss Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here along with...
Place your bets. CW here, and getting ready to roll that roulette wheel.
And roll them bones and deal them cards. Take your chances, kids. We got a good one for you. And chances are it's going to be great because it's CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Well, and you know, Dale, this one stars Mason Adams. So, you know, if Mason Adams stars in it, it has to be good.
Yes.
Oh, like
Smuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, good heavens.
But you know what's funny about that? I heard Sam Freeberg give a speech. I think it was to a group of public broadcasters or something. And at the end, he was talking about a friend of his who got this account. And he didn't know what to do because he got the Smuckers account. And he said, what the heck can you do with the Smuckers name? And he's the one that came up with it. He had no idea what to do with it. So, it says, so with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good, you know? It all came from advertising minds who had no idea what the heck to do with the name Smuckers.
Yeah. And there you have it, a little advertising history.
Absolutely. I mean, who would have guessed, you know, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Seriously? Really?
I can't believe I ate the whole thing. That one. I'll bet you predates you, CW. I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
You ate it, Ralph.
Yeah.
For Alka-Seltzer.
That's a spicy meatball.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That's a spicy meatball.
He does get them to like 100 sometimes, and they still don't have it right. So he said, okay, let's break for lunch.
Yep. And do you guys remember... Who was the loneliest man in the world?
It was Jess White.
Who
the
was?
The Maytag repairman. Jess White, the lonely Maytag repairman, because their products were so dependable, you never had to call the Maytag man.
Yep. You called the local guy instead. Things kind of faster.
And then when he retired, it went to Gordon Chump. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Gordon Chump had that for a while.
And then nobody had
that. Oh, the KRT Cincinnati guy.
Yep. And nobody had it after that.
Gordon Jump took a real chance on Different Strokes. He played a character, a guest character, and he was trying to do naughty things with the two boys.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, Adam, come over to watch TV.
Oh,
take your shirts off, boys, and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, they busted them just in time. But, yeah, that was like a real taboo topic in the early 80s, wait, you know, for television.
Yeah. Still not so hot now.
and that was a, you know, that was a dangerous role to take at the time for Gordon Jump.
It would, yeah, because... If you were real good at it, you might not get work anywhere else.
Yeah.
Don't kidding.
Yeah. Peter Lorre had to leave the country. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, that's right. I mean, talk about, you know, a subject that was taboo. I mean, Peter Lorre did that. What was the movie M? When was it done? In the,
late 20s, 30s,
early 40s?
No.
Oh,
it was a silent film.
Originally, yeah,
I had to
be in the 20s.
Maybe 20s, like towards the end of the silent film, and since it was Germany, maybe they went silent a little longer, possibly.
I was thinking it was more like, I think you were heading the right direction, 26, 27, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without
Jazz
looking
Singer was 27, so it would probably be right around that time or a little before it.
Yeah.
He was very young in it.
Maybe he's doing a lot of stage then, back then also.
Yeah.
I don't think that most people could survive just off of the movies.
So did Lugosi. Yeah. Lugosi did a lot of stage work.
He did a lot of stage work, yeah.
Yeah.
Early in his career, both abroad and when he came over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
The terrible Pennsylvania accent he had that made it really hard to understand.
Oh, yeah, there's that. And,
Did you say Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Okay, have we insulted everyone in the sovereign state of Pennsylvania?
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Listen, Yuns, the children of the night.
He's going to offer him some soda. Yes. Soda.
Yes.
Soda.
We have pop over here.
We have pop over here, yeah.
Yeah, they have soda.
Now, do they call them sub sandwiches, or do they call them heroes, or do they call them gyros there?
We call them sub sandwiches, but there are gyros, which are something different.
Yeah.
That's,
and then they're closer to New Jersey, they call them grinders. They call them grinders over closer to Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they know? Nothing good comes out of Jersey.
Yeah.
But
I digress. I'm thinking Philly cheesesteaks. That's it. Sorry, everyone. It's the Philly cheesesteak. That's what they call them.
Oh, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'd rather be there.
Yeah. You know, Philadelphia and West Philadelphia, born and raised, spent the playground most of my days, chilling, relaxing, maxing out, cooling out, shooting some b-ball, et cetera.
Fogs Bane and good old Bob in the chat with us. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. As we present a CBS Radio Mystery Theater classic, wrapping up our betting weekend is with a bet with the Angels.
Yep.
Or is it Angels?
No, it's Angels. It is Angels.
Okay.
It is Angels. What did I spell it wrong? Did I?
Right, just playing with you, Dave.
All right. Hey, I'm dyslexic. What the heck? I can take it. I can take it.
It's working man in radio today, Dave Binkley. In hosting, in general.
Oh yeah.
Good old Bob brings up Glenn and Glenda in the chat, and that was another one that was a real shocker. And ironically, I watched a little bit of it today.
Yeah, it was clear back in what 1953, something like that. Real shocker. It's just not something that a subject that many people would touch for a movie or would touch, period. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Well, what was it? Wade Williams
and
George Weiss? They were putting out all that exploitation stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Dear Ed Wood. Ed Wood.
I know I get into it with Gar once in a while, but, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space really wasn't the worst movie ever made. I've hosted some worse than that.
No, it was not.
The Manos.
The problem Gar has with it, I think he showed it for like a month or a month and a half straight because somebody kept missing it and asking him to keep hosting it. So he would give in to the person and rehost it. Oh, I missed it again. Will you rehost it? And, okay, I'll rehost it. It's like six times weeks in a row he hosted it. So I can understand him not caring for Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Real quick before we get started, your thoughts since it came up. Worst movie ever made. Dave, since you said Plan 9 is not the worst, what, in your estimation, is the worst that you're aware of?
Oh, I don't know. Ghost of Hanley House have to rank right up there.
Oh, wow. How about you, CW? You got any really yucko, stinko bombs you want to share?
I've never been able to get through Robot Monster. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the one with the football helmet?
Yeah, didn't you like the bubbles, though, coming out of the cave there? That was cute. Little soap bubbles.
No, just kind of lost me when I saw the the palm olive soap bubbles plopping all over the place. Just, you know, kind of lost me.
Yeah. All right. For me, it's a toss-up of Manos, Hands of Fate, and what is it, Monster or Go-Go? It's like nothing but people walking around. They're walking again, and they're still walking, and there you go. Good old Bob says, John Waters, Pink Flamingos. Oh, that's terrible. I think Divine was in that, no? Oh, God.
Oh. There is another movie that was, it's more modern. It was a remake of, I don't know how many different remakes of it. It was a remake of Meet Joe Black, When Death Takes the Form of a Human.
They remade it? Oh, wow.
Oh, it's had tons of remakes. Death
they keep trying to get it right? What is it?
Yeah.
There are some good versions out, but this particular one was awful in the sense they had marvelous, marvelous actors. The sets were great, but I don't know. The director must have either died or slept through the whole thing or went on vacation or called in all the instructions to the performers because they looked like they were just sitting around waiting to be told what to do.
Wow.
And I'm talking about some wonderful, wonderful actors that are in this particular version. So I will not ever see it again. I mean, I know it's been edited, but I will never see it again. It was just too depressing. How can I put this? I fell asleep. I actually just dozed off. I just found myself snoring.
That's not a good sign.
I'm talking snooze fest. I'm talking the answer to insomnia.
Which is the opposite of our radio program, which we better get rolling with. Bet with the Angels, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Dave, you got an episode number and broadcast date for us?
Let me see. All right, here, and move this out of the way. It is episode number 820, and it comes to us from April 21st of 1978.
Passover greetings from News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
WBBM News Time is 10:30. Mystery Theater coming up in one moment.
Passing us over.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Gambling fever, a disease that in varying degrees afflicts millions of Americans. In its milder form, where it's indulged in casually, it can be no more than a pastime. But the compulsive gambler finds himself on the road to perdition. An addicted gambler is doomed as surely as anyone addicted to drugs or alcohol. He will inevitably find himself face to face with disaster.
Hey, you're late, Lou.
I know. I've been trying to raise the money.
You ought to put that to music. That's the same song I've been hearing for the last week.
Look, we've been doing business for years. I've always paid before, haven't I?
That's like yesterday's news. Dead. That's what you'll be unless you come up with 11 big ones before next Tuesday.
Our mystery drama, Bet with the Angels, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett and stars Mason Adams. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
True Value Hardware Stores would like you and your family to make fun of their West Point bicycles. Hi, Pat Summerall to explain. A lot of people think a bicycle is a great means of transportation because it's economical. Others think it's an excellent form of exercise. But True Value Hardware stores want you to ride their West Point bicycles to have fun. So they offer a large selection of styles, sizes, and kinds to suit every member of the family, including 27-inch 10-speed racers with disc brakes and 20-inch high-risers for boys and girls. Even a 20-inch convertible bike that you can change from a boy's to a girl's model in minutes. Plus, West Point motocross bikes and 3-speed touring bikes. So even if you and your family want to use your West Point bikes as an economical means of transportation or as an excellent form of exercise, don't forget, they're still a lot of fun, too. See the complete selection of West Point bicycles for the entire family exclusively at participating True Value Hardware stores. More than just a name, it's their way of doing business.
Joseph Wagner, the master designer at York Furrier, spreads the Russian sable jacket across his work table. Deep in thought, he examines every inch of the fur, searching for flaws only his expert eyes can see. He has just restyled the fur, transforming it to the look of tomorrow. This inspection is the final step before storage. He nods his head slightly, then gently carries the jacket to the cold storage vault. He places the fur in a specially designed hanger, steps back. Mentally measures the distance to the next fur. For every fur must have breathing room. That and the temperature and humidity control will keep the fur rich and supple. At York Furrier, 107 North York in Elmhurst, a master craftsman is doing what he does best.
A social animal. Indeed, many sociologists believe that the company of his fellows is just as important to him as any of life's necessities. Of course, friendship between men has been celebrated in song and story ever since Damon and Pythias. Today's tale deals with a friendship that equaled, if it didn't exceed, the bond between that historic pair. Since this friendship carried beyond the grave,
ever since I could remember, Lou Marvin and I had been pals, from kindergarten through the University of Chicago. Although we chased different careers after we graduated, me to the advertising business and Lou turning his charm and personal magnetism to selling, we kept in touch. And whenever Lou was in town, we were inseparable. Even during one of the worst blizzards in the history of Chicago, when Lou punched me in the mouth, saving my life at the same time that he risked his own. I was crazy to try to get to work, but I had a new account that I'd promised to work up. So I fought my way to my car and was just about settled in the front seat when I saw Lou trudging towards me through the snow. At the same time, I heard a thump. I rolled the window down to try to see what had happened, and I heard Lou calling.
Stay where you are, Jason. Don't move. And get your face back in there.
Why, are you crazy, Lou? Come on, get in, and I'll give you a lift to your friendly neighborhood bookmaker.
I said sit.
What's going on here? Let me get out and...
Sorry, buddy. That's an electric power cable across the back of your car. Now, sitting where you are, you're safe as in your house. Touch one foot on the ground, you'll be electrocuted.
Wow. Could you have told me that before you hauled off and belted me?
You already had your hand on the door latch.
Yeah, but you touched me and you're okay.
I made sure I just hit you, not the car.
Wait a minute. You mean if you'd have brushed the car when you swung at me, you'd have been...
Been fried.
You're crazy, Lou. You know that?
I mean, why didn't you... Look, you know my philosophy. Never ask why. Never look back. Now, I'll get a tree branch, get that power line off the car, and we'll find a poker game.
Lou found the poker game. I went to work, despite Lou's beautifully persuasive sales pitch. Lou knew that I wasn't a gambler, but he liked to have me along when I could spare the time. I enjoyed watching, and I sometimes even made a small bet. I liked to think that I acted as a restraining influence, but I realized I was kidding myself. For example, one summer night, we went to the Trotters.
The next race, Jason, the next race is going to be the biggie.
we'll win back everything we lost.
Right, Lou. I mean, isn't that the way it always goes? The next race, the next football game, the next fight.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Often?
Well, can't win them all, you know that.
Oh, I know, Lou. I know. I just don't like to lose them all, and I think you lose more than you win.
Oh, come on now. No analysis tonight. Look at this horse here. Look at this. Number 6 in the next race.
Rainbow. Well, that's where they say the pot of gold is.
Jason, 11-1.
That's not like you, Lou. You're a chalk player.
Not when I'm out $600. Now, look at him. There he is out on the track now. The roan there. Now, isn't he beautiful?
You know something, Lou? You have been reading racing form since high school. Now, I don't pretend to know half as much as you, but look at this dope sheet on Rainbow. He leads all the way to the stretch, and then he quits and he finishes last.
I saw that. That's the beauty of it. I figure they're setting him up for a killing. That's why he's 11-1. Now, come on, let's get to the windows before we're shut out.
As usual, there was no standing up against Lou's enthusiasm. I bet $5 on Rainbow. Lou bet $100. Rainbow went out to a 6-length lead with Lou screaming, "What did I tell you?" and then stopped as if he'd run into a brick wall. He finished last again. But what happened next? That's the part that you're not going to believe.
There you are. Well, you were smart only to bet $5. But this time, watch. Rainbow will do it.
What? The race is over.
One heat. They're going to run a second.
I don't... You're not going to bet him again.
Jason, that's why you're a loser. You just don't understand. Now look at the tote board. Rainbow's up to 15-1. They're going to make a killing.
Who's they?
How do I know? The owners, the insiders.
Oh, boy. You know, Lou, for an intelligent guy, I really think you don't have all your marbles.
You don't know anything about gambling.
I know enough not to put my money on a horse running against the very same horses that just beat him by 20 lengths.
Jason, now look. It costs money to run a horse in this race, doesn't it?
I know about entry fees.
Well, there you are. Why do you think the owners would put up this much money to enter him if they didn't think he could win? This is a put-up job. I can smell it.
Okay, you have every right to call me the world's biggest idiot, but you've never heard Lou sell. His belief was so strong, and he had the ability to sweep away all logic and actually convince you that he was right. At any rate, I bet another $5, and he put down his last $100, and then we rushed back to the track to watch and listen.
And as they head into the stretch, it's Rainbow on top by 2 lengths, then Mark Sun, Villefranche, and Hesperus. Hesperus is moving on the outside. Mark Sun and Villefranche also moving up as Rainbow falters. It's Hesperus and Mark Sun. Hesperus and it's Mark Sun on the inside by a nose. There'll be a photo.
Well, Lou.
Well, there you are. Well, I still have a small bankroll left. I think I'll find me a poker game.
I couldn't get sore at Lou. None of his friends could. I mean, if you liked him, and most people did, you put up with that fatal flaw in his character. However, I didn't hear from Lou for about a week after the incident at the racetrack, and I was concerned. I called and I left messages, but he didn't return the calls. So one night I decided to stroll over to his apartment on Lakeshore Drive. I missed his unfailing cheerfulness, and I also wanted to tell him that I'd finally met a girl that I wanted to marry. I wanted them to meet because it was important that they be friends. As I approached the entrance to his apartment house, I was surprised to see Lou come out, escorted by 2 men.
Lou! Hey, Lou, hold up a minute.
I didn't like the way the men kept Lou between them as they came to a stop. They were well-dressed, but something about them screamed hoodlum.
Where are you going, Lou? Did you forget our date?
Yes, it slipped my mind.
Slipped your mind? You mean you forgot that I wanted to introduce you to Hillary?
Jason, I'm sorry. These gentlemen drove everything out of my mind.
Yeah, but Lou,
We got important business together. You might almost say it's a matter of life and death.
To Lou or to you?
What's your name?
Jason Clark.
All right, Jason Clark. Your good friend here owes us 11 big ones, and we intend to get it. Now, how about it, Clark? Is this guy going to stand up for your wedding? Going to be your best man?
Well, I sure hope so, if the girl will marry me.
Fine. And how about you standing up for him and guaranteeing we get our dough?
Okay, I'll guarantee you get your money.
Yeah, there's a friend for you, Lou. You ought to be real proud.
Yeah, you understand, I don't have that kind of money now, but...
Sure, we understand. We'll give you a week to get it together.
You shouldn't have done that, Jason. I make my problems and I solve them.
I couldn't let them kill you.
Look, I'm no good to them dead. I'll admit I might have crawled away with some bruises and maybe a couple of broken ribs. You haven't got that kind of loot.
I'll manage to
get it
together.
Oh, you'll do nothing. Now, look, I'm going out on the road and sell some swimming pools. Six ought to do it. If I can't sell six pools in a week, I'll give up gambling.
Lou did sell the pools. Seven, as a matter of fact. He didn't give up gambling, and he met Hillary Jones, by this time my fiancée. To my delight, they hit it off beautifully. Hillary disapproved of Lou's gambling, but she was not a managing woman, and she didn't attempt to reform him. When Lou was in town, he was always welcome company, and we became a threesome. Until tragedy struck. Lou was killed in an automobile accident. I didn't realize how large a part Lou had played in my life until he was gone. I asked Hillary to move up the date for our wedding, hoping that married life would help fill the void.
Of course, dearest. We can get married tomorrow if you want.
Did I ever tell you how much I love you?
Frequently. But I never get tired of hearing you say it.
You're a remarkable woman. I know that you and your folks wanted a big wedding with all the trimmings, and yet you're willing to marry me tomorrow.
I love you, Jason.
You know, I wouldn't ask you to disappoint your folks and run off and get married, but it would be great if we could move the date up a couple of weeks.
No problem.
Great. Let's celebrate. I tell you, I'll give you 10 minutes to change, and we'll have dinner at the pump room.
I have a very important question to ask you. Where is all the money coming from for this?
Don't worry about it. We can afford it.
Well, I know you do very well at the agency, but nowhere near well enough to be able to afford the luxuries you've lavished on me in the last few months. Best restaurants, the best seats for the best shows.
You're objecting to the way I've been courting you?
I love it. But where are you getting all the money?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Darling, I think we're heading for our first quarrel. Why are you so secretive? What's going on?
I'll tell you, but only upon two conditions. First, that you won't repeat it to a soul. And second, that you won't make fun of me.
I promise.
Okay. I've been gambling.
Gambling?
And winning.
To you. You're not a gambler. You never were. Don't you remember the hours we spent talking about Lou? Trying to come up with some way of curing his gambling habit?
Cool it, Hillary. It's not really gambling.
You're betting?
Yeah. But I can't lose. I haven't lost a bet. Not once.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's impossible.
Not if you're getting tips from the right source.
What source?
Lou, of course. Lou tells me what to bet. And he's never been wrong.
Late Harry Houdini swore to his friends that he would get in touch with them after his death. He even left very definite details as to how they would recognize his presence, even if he were unable to talk with them. So far, none of them has been contacted. Now we have Jason Clark, who says he's getting betting tips from his dead friend. Can this really be true? We'll find out shortly when I return with Act Two.
The Electra's all washed and loaded, and you're on your way. You figured 300 miles the first day, but with all of Electra's luxury and room, you're out 400 miles before you know it.
Not only that, but the EPA mileage estimates are 22 highway, 15 city, and 18 combined. That's with the standard 5.7-liter engine and automatic transmission. Of course, your mileage will vary depending on how and where you drive, your car's condition, and how it's equipped. And EPA estimates are lower in California. But it's nice to know that a car with as much prestige and elegance as Electra can also be efficient. Buick Electra, a car that can actually make you look forward to a long trip.
They surely will have found you.
Electra models are equipped with GM-built engines supplied by various divisions. See your dealer for details.
Decisions, decisions, decisions. That's what you'll have to make when you deposit your savings at any of the six convenient locations of Northwest Federal Savings. They'll be pleasant decisions, too. You see, we're making an offer. If you deposit $250 or more, you can get one of 23 great brand-name gifts free or for a specially reduced price. So, will it be something for Dad, something for Mom,
yeah,
or something for
the entire
family? We can
offer you can't refuse.
Will it be the West End 10-cup coffee maker or the Easy Rider AM/FM portable radio? Will it be the weed blower trimmer or the Sunbeam vacuum broom? Well, those are only four of the 23 super gifts that you can choose from. And don't worry, you'll have plenty of time to make that decision. We're open 63 hours a week. So when it comes to convenience, that's one decision you won't have to make.
Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
And then you've heard of the certain ethnic mafia leader. I'm going to make you an offer I don't understand.
Yeah, I can understand that. Not the offer, but you know.
Yeah, right. Harumph, harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Yeah, how come I never get tips from betting tips from dead people? That's what I don't know.
I don't know. I don't hear much from dead people too often.
You know, it's amazing. The guy is sending him tips when he couldn't win a bet in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, what makes him good now?
Yep, yep. We got CW? Okay.
AC. Here, we'll just do this and turn her back on, see if that helps.
Yep.
I guess not. She'll be joining us soon.
I'm sure.
Bet with the Angels. That was a similar name story, not a bet with the Angel, but a deal for the Angels. That's one of my favorite Twilight Zones with Keenan Wynn.
Oh, I like that one. That's a good one.
Is that the one where Keenan Wynn's the writer?
No, he's a peddler, a street peddler. Like in one of those guys
that
out of his suitcase.
You mean Edwin.
Edwin. One of them Wynn boys.
Yeah, Keenan Wynn was the one where he was a writer.
But yeah, Edwin that was a good,
Edwin
was a good
was
one.
Edwin was in two of them. Yeah, one for the Angels, and then the other one he was in was the Grandfather's Clock. What was the name of that one?
Oh yeah,
maybe it was called Grandfather's Clock. Might have been called
that.
Yeah,
might have been. Yeah. All good Twilight Zone stuff. And of course, we had resident Twilight Zone expert Mark Dwidziak here not long ago, and he's constantly on the move, doing different stuff about Mark Twain and or Rod Serling.
Rod Serling,
Edgar Allan Poe,
and Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, he's a big Poe guy.
That he does. I think he also did. I don't know if he does anymore, but I know for a while I think he even did the community theater, and his wife acted right along with him there.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Nonstop. But, if anyone from beyond has the winning lotto numbers, Powerball numbers, do feel free to communicate that any way, you know. Hello?
Yes, from the great beyond, if you don't mind, Uncle Fred. Take a little look. Take a little look see for me.
Yeah, you know, just you know, take a look behind the curtain. Just, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always useful information. But we got a pretty good story going here.
I'm really enjoying it. Mason Adams. Fabulous, unique voice.
And yep. A pretty good actor. I remember him playing a heavy. Do you both recall the movie FX? Which I really enjoyed. It was like a special effects guy. Was it kind of in trouble with, he ends up getting in trouble with the mafia and the police and everybody. And he keeps using makeup and special effects to try to get out of trouble and solve
the real issue. Oh, they made that into a, series.
That's right.
Yeah, they did.
I think Brian Dennehy was in the movie, and then Mason Adams was like the villain, he was actually a top policeman. Brian Dennehy's boss, but he turned out to be hooked up with the mafia.
Yeah, and the main actor who was the FX expert, he's an Aussie. I can't remember his name.
I don't either. Brian something? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, we got to start Googling, folks.
I do remember the name of the Aussie who did him in the television series. His name's Cameron Datto. He's Aussie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Either Aussie or Kiwi.
Brian Brown, his name was. It's a 1986 movie.
Brian Brown.
Yeah, Brian Dennehy, Mason Adams, Diane Venora, whoever the hell she is. Cliff DeYoung, you've seen him in a lot of things.
Bad guy's a really unique role for Mason Adams. And I also got a kick out of hearing him interacting right with the second Johnny Dollar. I don't know why all of a sudden his name skipped my brain. But hearing the two of those act together as they would have done 20 years before that.
It just
made me feel good hearing the two golden age of radio actors together again in the silver age of radio.
Yeah. Good old Bob. We were talking about Twilight Zone. Good old Bob he says, I just hope Ron Howard doesn't wish me into the cornfield. That wasn't Ron Howard. That was Billy Mummy.
That was Billy Mummy, yeah.
And in one of the latter versions of Twilight Zone, Billy Mummy as an adult reprises his role.
Yep.
And I guess he's grown up and has a daughter who also has the power.
Right. And that is actually his real life daughter as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Catch that one. That is.
Oh, and condolences to all the Lost in Space fans. Major West has passed on.
Mark Goddard.
As did Phyllis Coates this week. Yep.
The original Lois Lane for
the original
movie and the original series, and I don't know whether it was her choice to get out or not, but you know, Dale, you remember when we did when we covered that interview with Siegel's daughter, that she preferred Phyllis Coates' version to Noelle Noelle's.
Yes, she was hosting a speech, and I think it was I Am Lois Lane's Daughter or something.
So My Mother Lois Lane, I think.
Yeah, My Mother Lois Lane. Because her mother was the model for Lois Lane.
The original writer.
Yeah, the original writer used this inspiration, so it was kind of cool. Yes, Billy Mummy was Will in Lost in Space, G.O.B., and he was the little boy. He was in a couple Twilight Zones. He's a pretty durable child actor. I saw him in a few other 60s shows as well as a ute.
As a ute, yeah.
As a very young ute. The time's a-wasting.
He even talked about his one experience working for Alfred Hitchcock, which he didn't enjoy.
Yep. Nope. We better get rolling. We got two more segments to go, right?
Yep, two more.
Here we go with part two of Bet with the Angels from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. The GOAT.
There are many spiritualists who claim to have regular conversations with the dead, but most of them maintain they reach the spirit world only through their own very special contact on the other side. Jason Clark, however, has told his fiancée that he's in direct contact with his dead friend Lou Marvin, who's giving him sure winners in sporting events.
Jason, I know you believe that Lou has been giving you tips on betting. But I'm trying to decide which worries me more. The fact that you're gambling or the fact that you actually think that Lou...
Remember your promise. You swore that you wouldn't make fun of me.
Darling, I'm not making fun. I'm just terribly worried. I know how close you and Lou were and how much his death affected you, but this is...
Look, honey... Please, relax. I'm not crazy. Now, just let me explain how it happens.
But you can't. All right, go ahead.
See, the first time I was reading a sporting page about the game between the Chicago Bears and the Giants. And suddenly, I heard Lou's voice, clearly, telling me to bet the Giants.
Oh, you couldn't have.
Right. I couldn't, and I didn't. I dismissed it as some sort of hallucination. But twice before the game, I heard him again. And it was just the way Lou used to talk. And I still didn't better do anything about it. And the Giants won.
Oh, Jason, my love, that was just a coincidence.
That's just what I thought, until it happened again with a basketball game. So I made a small bet, and I won. And from then on, I've just listened to old Lou, and I haven't lost a single time.
Darling, I'd like you to see a doctor.
Yeah.
He's a good friend
Hillary,
of mine.
Hillary, please, Hillary, please. Just let me prove it to you. Wait a minute. I'll go out to the lobby. I'll get a newspaper. You just wait. Okay. Here's a paper. Now, look. Here is the list of tonight's games. You pick a game. Any game.
No, I don't want anything to do with it.
In other words, you have a closed mind. You love me, but you won't even let me prove to you that I'm not out of my skull, that this is really happening.
All right. Here. I pick the game between the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay. I am in the paper.
Tell her to pick another game, Jess.
Well? Do you hear anything?
Yep. Lou says you should pick another game.
I didn't hear a thing.
Yeah, I know, but that's what he said.
All right. But I'm only going along with this nonsense because I love you.
You just pick the game. It's getting late.
All right. At Boston and Philadelphia. How long are you going to stare at that paper?
Take the Celtics and 6 points.
Where are you going?
To phone in my bet. Lou told me to take the Celtics with 6 points. Well, do you believe me now? 100, 200, 300, 500 bucks.
But the Celtics lost.
Yeah, but only by 3 points, and the spread was 6, so I won. Now do you believe me?
I believe you won, but I don't believe... I refuse to believe that... that such a thing could happen.
You don't believe in life after death?
Maybe there is. But if there are such things as spirits, they don't go around giving people tips so that someone down here on Earth can win a lot of money.
Come on, Hillary. You know what a great salesman Lou was. I mean, if anyone could sell the other world a bill of goods on gambling, Lou is the fellow who could.
Jason, I don't know what's going on, but I want you to stop.
Why?
Because it's wrong.
What's wrong about winning? I'm making legitimate bets, and I'm winning. I mean, it's the easiest money I ever made in my life. We can use it to build a wonderful life. Do you realize that the ceiling is absolutely unlimited?
And what happens if Lou stops sending you tips?
Simple. I don't bet. I'm not a gambler. I'm just a winner. A man who acts on heaven-sent information. And if I don't get the information, I'll quit.
And what happens when you lose?
Well, I don't even want to think about that. Not because of the money. I mean, there's no way I'd bet enough to lose at all. But if I lose, that'll mean that something is going on inside my head and I never was in touch with Lou at all.
And how do you think I like living with that thought?
You shouldn't consider it. The records show that I must be hearing from Lou that I'm betting only on sure things.
But somehow, to me, that's even more frightening.
What's the matter? Headache?
No, I'm fine. I'd just rather you come over to my place because I have something to tell you that needs privacy.
Okay. Did you get the flowers?
Yes. Thank you. They're beautiful.
What's all? Nothing else to say to him?
I'll see you in an hour. Jason, before I say anything, I want you to know that's the most beautiful engagement ring I've ever seen.
Well, at last. I was beginning to think that either you hadn't received it or you didn't like it.
No woman could look at it and not like it. It's really exquisite and expensive. Obviously, you're still winning.
That's an understatement. My bookmaker is hinting that perhaps he'd rather have me go to Vegas to place my bet. I tell you, darling, we have got the world by the tail.
Yes, I suppose that's one way of looking at it.
Well, what's the matter? I thought you'd be happy about the ring.
The trouble is that I'm beginning to believe you about Lou.
Why should that make you unhappy?
Because I don't want to believe in demonic possession.
Demonic? What the deuce are you talking about?
You know how we used to laugh and joke about all those books and films where some kind of devil entered the body of a perfectly normal person and took over?
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Oh, I believe that somehow Lou has taken possession of your mind.
Are you saying that you think Lou's a devil or some kind of an evil spirit?
No, not at all. I just think that ever since this started, you've been acting and thinking like Lou rather than like Jason.
Nonsense.
You've quit your job with the ad agency, haven't you?
You're exaggerating. I just took a leave of absence.
Why?
Well, there's not much point in my turning out advertising copy 5 days a week for less than I make on one bet.
Oh, I wish you could hear yourself. It almost sounds as if Lou were talking. That's just what he'd say.
Wait a minute. Of course. Why didn't I think of this before? You're jealous. You're jealous of Lou and...
That's not true. That's not true at all. I thought Lou was a fine person and I enjoy being with him, but much as I liked Lou, I would never have thought of marrying him.
Well, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I mean, look at me, honey. I'm Jason. I am Jason Clark. You remember me? The guy who loves you and wants to do everything in the world for you.
Well, if you really mean that, then we have no problem.
Of course I mean it.
Then stop betting.
Boy, oh boy, I really stepped into that one, didn't I?
Well?
Let me think about it for a minute.
You think about it. I don't have to because I already know the answer.
You're pushing me, Hillary, and I don't like to be pushed.
Why don't you admit it? You're addicted exactly the way Lou was addicted. You can't stop, not even from me.
Can't you see that's not fair? I mean, Lou lost a lot of time. Sure, he won now and then, but he lost. I mean, if you want to say that I'm addicted, be honest. I'll admit that I'm addicted to winning.
I'm sorry, Jason. Here.
What's that?
Your ring. I'm giving it back. I'm calling it quits. If I were a gambler, I might say I was cutting my losses because I know what you're doing is all wrong.
I walked back to my place after Hillary had broken our engagement, feeling rotten. I had to face up to it. A lot of what Hillary had said was right. I just couldn't bear the thought of throwing away this golden opportunity. And I also had to admit that if I quit, it would probably break my link with Lou, and I didn't want to lose contact. I was feeling miserable when I opened the door to my apartment, and I froze. Seated there were the two men that I'd seen with Lou when he owed them $11,000. One of them spoke.
Come on in, Clark, and close the door. You remember meeting us before with your friend Lou Marvin? I'm Mr. Smith. This fellow's Mr. Jones, my silent partner.
How did you get in?
Let's not waste time on unimportant matters. I don't remember the guy who said, if you can't lick him, join him, but that's the way we feel. We want to go into business with you.
Yeah, but I'm not in business.
Wrong. dead wrong. Now, you've been taking a lot of money, an awful lot of money away from our enterprise, and it shouldn't happen that way. Now, you know as well as we do, Clark, it don't figure.
You mean I'm not supposed to win?
Well, of course you're supposed to win some of the time. But even the luckiest gamblers we ever saw also lost some of the time. You're something else, Clark. You're the first guy we ever ran across who never loses.
If you fellas are trying to tell me that you don't want my action, I'll go elsewhere.
There ain't no elsewhere, Clark. You've become famous. Now, we're here to make you a straight business proposition. We understand you must have some kind of a system. And we want you to tell us about it so we could work it better.
I don't have a system.
Now, look, Clark, you've been doing great. I mean great. But with us, you'll do even better. We can put down bets that no one would take from you. So it makes sense to let us in on it.
Look, I told you, I don't have a system.
You're not dealing with children when you talk with me and Jonesy. Well, you want to make us believe you close your eyes, you stick a pin in a paper and come up with a winner?
Of course I don't do anything like that.
All right. So tell us, what do you do?
This is ridiculous.
Ain't it? You know, if anyone had ever told me, I'd be sitting in a guy's apartment one night begging him to tell me how he picks winners, I'd have said he was bananas. But here we are. And we're asking you, and we're asking polite.
Yeah, I understand that, but I have nothing to tell you. It's just that I get a feeling.
Well, you're going to have to come up with something better. Maybe like somebody on the inside is giving you information, you're splitting with them. Is that the way you're working?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I'll buy that. Not because you tell us, but because we got connections, and we check them very carefully before we come here tonight.
If there's anything I could do to help you, I would.
You can. All you have to do is tell us how you figure the basketball games, the football games, the races. Just tell us. And we're in business.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm using the rhythm system. I mean, you have heard of biorhythms and charts?
Biorhythms?
Yeah. Yeah. See, look, here's what I do. I get the birth date of every player, and then I use my own system of determining the biorhythms of all the key players involved. And whichever team has the players, see, with the greatest number of high in all the three categories, which are emotional and physical and astrological, well, that gives me the clue as to how to bet.
And I suppose you do the same thing with the horses.
Nah, that'd be silly with horses.
Oh! Oh, I'm sorry. My partner has a nasty temper. I don't like violence, but I can't blame him for punching you. So come up with some answers or Jonesy's going to get so mad, he might really hurt you.
Legend has it that George Washington never told a lie. Now, that's admirable, but sometimes it's impossible to make people believe you're telling the truth when you are indeed speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's the dilemma which confronts Jason Clark, and we'll be back to hear how he solves it shortly.
Life is for living, and Visa is there. California, Colorado, Wisconsin, Idaho,
West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Mexico,
New Hampshire, New Jersey, Nevada, Oregon,
Yeehaw.
Up with you.
George!
George, scaling the refrigerator every time I need a can of soup isn't exactly my idea of luxurious living. And then there's always an avalanche to clean up.
Why don't you use a stepladder?
Where would I put it?
I see what you mean.
No, Seaway sees what I mean.
Seaway's a bank.
Exactly. The bank that'll make us a home improvement loan at lower rates than any finance company, or make us a mortgage loan competitive with any other bank.
Oh, think about it.
For how long? Another month and this crack in the wall will be the Continental Divide. Look, here are my ideas for remodeling. Or we can go see an adorable house for sale just a mile away. We can pick up a Seaway loan application on the way.
Helen, this is Sunday.
Seaway's Grand Bazaar office at 87th and the Ryan is open on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Of course, you won't be able to stand in the dog's bowl to pour your coffee anymore.
Seaway National Bank, open Saturdays and Sundays till 6 p.m. Member FDIC.
Yep. That's quite a bet they got going here. A system that he can't get anybody to believe is working for him.
Yep. Well, I wouldn't believe him with that story either. Biorhythms. I remember, maybe it was even junior high when that Biorhythms thing came out, Dale. And I had some other classmates who were all into that. And they were trying to figure out all these things and trying to do the gambling. And you know what? It works to a certain point for certain key players. But on the other hand, even when a guy has a great game, if other players might not. So, you know, it never really worked the way that they thought. And that's why he got punched for saying biorhythms, I think.
And just because. He's a mobster and he can do it. Why not?
That's right. Yeah.
Pretty much, if you're a thug, you get to do what you want.
Well, yeah, Mike makes right, right?
Mike makes right.
But,
at least if you're mighty, it feels good. Anyway,
yeah.
CW is in the house still. I hope.
It shows that she's there, but
she's just so mysterious.
Yeah,
you don't know, man.
She could be at the checkout counter, and they don't like you to talk when you're on the checkout line, you know?
Yeah. That's true. But,
I've never been into betting. Have you done any kind of betting, Dale, in general?
Betting? Yes.
Yeah. Have you? Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I always say I work too hard and long for my money. I'm not giving it to somebody else because I plan on losing if I'm going to bet, so I don't.
Well, and that's a healthy way to go into it, is I'm going to lose this. In other words, you don't want to bet something that you're going to need, something that's like disposable income.
Right.
Some people can do that where like, all right, I'm budgeting X amount for this, like a movie, and that's all I'm going to do. I'm only going to buy one bag of popcorn, and I'm not going to spend more than X.
Yeah.
But some people, when the dopamine is going, no matter what it is. See, my bad thing is tobacco. I'm sitting here working cigarette after cigarette. I don't know why.
Ew.
Yep.
Ew.
That's why Dale warns, don't go in the basement. That's why Dale warns, don't go in the basement.
That's right, don't go in the basement.
Don't go in the basement. Yeah, I can hear Paladin coming out of the basement. Woof. Woof.
Hey. He doesn't do that.
I don't know. I think Dave agrees with me.
If I do a toad like this, that's hilarious. I'm just visualizing this, you know.
The dog hacking on the way upstairs.
Yeah, on the way upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh man, I gotta take a stress halfway up, you know.
I do have to put something on the bottom stairs, though. They're too slippery for him. He's not sure of himself. I have a carpet runner on the first set of steps going down to the basement. I just happen to have a bare strip of carpet. I got to put another one on the one going all the way to the basement.
Yeah.
Because
he's
skittish about coming down here because he needs a running start to go up. Yeah, it's the stairs.
Are you sure it's the stairs that are making him skittish, or perhaps the ode to Marlboro is putting him off?
No, he's like a kid. I don't smoke much around him. But he has stolen packs and gone off running. His favorite thing is to steal stuff. He thinks everything is a game of keep away. Keep away from daddy. I got the valuable thing. Run.
I got the credit card. Run.
No, but he grabbed my driver's license once while I was on the phone.
Yeah, probably that's because he wanted to go out and get a beer and he didn't have his ID with him. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, man, there you go.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You want to go to the local pub and grub? Yeah. Let's go to the local pub and grub and get some, pumpkin beer. Yeah,
pumpkin
spice beer.
Pumpkin beer. Ugh. No, thank you, ma'am.
It makes my... Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones... making that, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse sort of thing.
Yes.
Well, you're not allowed to refuse,
allowed to refuse.
Yeah. There'll be no refusing today. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Hey,
we're going to...
I have a little quiz for you guys. After the Mystery Theater, in our local Beacon Journal, they came up with an article on 7 made-up Ohio towns that were settings for Halloween movies. So you guys think about that during this third and final act.
Ooh,
oh, wow.
Dave, got a good one there to consider. We can ask our listeners, too, there in the chat if you come up with any fictitious Ohio towns in horror movies or movies in general?
Or Halloween movies.
Halloween
movies.
Halloween
movies. Oh, wow.
Well, Haddonfield ain't one of them. So let's continue with...
Oh, that's in Illinois,
Yeah, that's right next door, but Bet with the Angels from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
This is WBBM Chicago.
How'd that do?
Each of us has his dreams. To those dreamers who lament the fact that their castles in the air don't materialize, I say, beware. Many of those dreams are fulfilled, only to turn into nightmares. And so it was with Jason Clark, who seemed to have a ghostly pipeline to betting on sporting events that was infallible. Indeed, Jason has never lost a bet. And now some very rough gentlemen are determined to find out how he does it.
You feeling a little better, Clark?
My nose has stopped bleeding. I guess I'm okay.
Good. See, my partner here is an impatient man. I don't know how long I can hold him back.
Look, you don't have to threaten me. There's just nothing I can tell you. There's nothing you'd believe.
Try us.
It's no use. It's hopeless.
You're not going to come back with that biorhythm garbage, are you?
No.
All right, you seem to be learning. Now, we'll go along with something when we hear the truth.
Okay, do you remember Lou Marvin?
Sure. Swell guy.
Now, you know that we were very close.
Yeah. Look, that's ancient history. Marvin is dead.
Yeah, and he's been giving me... he's been giving me tips.
Hold it, Jonesy. There'll be time enough for your act. First, I want to hear the rest of this fairy tale.
Oh, gosh, I told you that you wouldn't believe me.
Now, I'm trying, Clark. If I hear you correctly, you're getting tips from Lou Marvin, who died almost a year ago.
That's right.
How do you get in touch?
I don't. He does. See, I'll be reading the sports news or listening to sports on the radio. Suddenly, I hear him tell me what team or what horse to bet.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose you're the only one who could hear him, right?
Now you've got it.
No. You got it.
48 hours to come up with the real dope, or you're going to find yourself in a hospital.
I didn't leave my apartment for 2 days. I didn't make a bet. I didn't even look at the sporting pages. I sat and I worried and thought and didn't come up with any answers. If Smith and Jones weren't willing to accept the truth, there was just no story I could make up that would hang together. I knew I'd have to go out sometime, and I wondered where they'd pick me up. Late the second night, my phone rang. Hello?
This is Smith. Remember me?
Yeah.
Have you changed your mind?
I can't. You've got to believe I told you the truth.
Boy, I've met some stubborn guys in my time, but you take the cake. Now listen. Listen good, because you won't be hearing from me again. Yeah, you know how Jonesy feels about you. But he's not stubborn. When I showed him that if we damaged you, we might be killing a goose that laid the golden egg, he saw the logic of that right away.
That makes sense. So you decided to leave me alone?
That's right. But that girl you're going to marry, that Hillary Jones, now there's really a good-looking dame.
Listen, if you touch her...
Now you can stop us. Just tell us your system and nothing happens to her. But if you don't, when we get through with her, nobody would want to marry her. Think it over and call me tomorrow. You know the number.
Although it was well past midnight, I called Hillary. I told her I had to see her. It was a matter of life and death. I think she was still too sleepy to understand what I was saying, but she agreed to allow me to come over.
All right, Jason. Now that you've got me out of bed in the middle of the night, calm down, drink some coffee. Tell me what this is all about.
Well, first, sorry, I want to apologize. I take back everything I ever said to you.
About what?
About this betting. I was wrong and you were right. It's big trouble. And the thing I can never forgive myself for is that you're involved.
I don't see how that's possible.
Darling, listen, start packing. You've got to go away.
Will you please drink your coffee and make some sense?
They're threatening you. That's why I called. Right after Smith hung up, we've got to find someplace where they can't find you.
Jason, I know you're in some kind of panic and that you're worried about me. Why do I have to run away?
Sorry, you're right again. You see... The fellas that I've been betting with came to see me. They thought that I had some kind of new foolproof system for picking winners, and they wanted to go into business with me. Of course, I told them I didn't have a system, and they didn't believe it. They threatened me. One of them took a punch at me. And finally, I told them the truth.
You mean about Lou?
Right. Of course, they didn't believe that either. And that was 2 days ago. Well, they called me tonight. They said they wouldn't hurt me since I'm the goose that lays the golden eggs. But if I didn't tell them, they were going to beat you up and scar you for life. That's why I'm here, and that's why you've got to get out of town now.
No, that's not the answer, Jason. I don't intend to run away.
Believe me, Hillary, this isn't the time for heroics.
No, not for panic either. Running away won't solve anything.
Well, what will?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to see it their way. Now, remember when you first told me about Lou giving you tips? I didn't believe you. So I can understand why they didn't believe it either. Now, suppose you prove it to them.
How?
The same way you proved it to me. Give them a demonstration.
Well, I'm not sure that Lou would go for that.
Why not?
I know how he felt about these guys. He hated them. And he's sure to know that they're with me, just waiting to cash in.
But if he knows all that, he must know the spot you're in.
Yeah, I suppose he does.
But don't you think Lou was too good a friend of yours to let you down? He got you into this. Now give him a chance to get you out.
We talked about it for the rest of the night, but I really knew deep down that it was the only sensible suggestion. Now it was up to me to persuade Smith and Jones to come to a demonstration. The next day, I called the number that Smith had given me.
Hello?
It's Jason Clark. Listen, I'm going to give you a demonstration. I'm going to show you just how I work it.
Why don't you just write it out for us, or is it too complicated?
It's very simple. But the only way that I'm going to get you to see how it works is to watch me in action.
I don't like the way you're talking. You're not going to be stupid enough to try to pull another fast one,
How can I? You're going to be right with me. You're going to see me and hear me, and then
all right. Be at the Regal Hotel, room 915 at 4:30 this afternoon.
That's too late. I want to be with you in time for the afternoon races.
Okay. Then make it 12:30.
Yeah, and have a daily racing form there, will you?
How about a crystal ball?
No, thanks. I'm bringing my own. All the way to the hotel, I was forcing my brain to send messages to Lou. They all added up to the same thing, a plea to him not to let me down. I got there on the dot, and the big gorilla called Jonesy let me in and hung a do not disturb sign outside, and then carefully locked and bolted the door.
We sent down for some food. Help yourself.
No, thanks.
All right, Jonesy, give him the racing form. Let's watch him work. But what are you doing?
Working.
We ain't hearing nothing.
I'm going to give you the name of a horse to bet.
What race?
I don't know yet.
I don't believe this guy, Jonesy.
Look, I can't concentrate if you keep on talking.
That's too bad, because I ain't going to shut up. You know, dummy, you know what we want. We ain't looking for tips. We want to know how you do it.
I'm going to show you now. Shut up.
You're going to tell us.
I already told you. Lou Marvin gives me the name of the horse. I have to wait until I hear from him.
Jonesy, maybe you better pay a call on a young lady.
Oh, now, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. You've got to give me the chance to prove to you that I'm telling the truth.
Look, Lou Marvin's dead. Now, you tell me that somehow he gives you a tip on a team or a horse.
Right, he talks to me. Look, how much have I won over the last 4 months? You must have an approximate idea.
Not approximate. We have it right to the penny. You're into us for 78 big ones. $78,000.
Okay, I have most of it. Not all, but I can get the difference. And I'll show you how much I believe in what I'm saying. I will bet the whole bundle, if you guys can get it down, $78,000. Does that sound as if I'm making up a story?
Jonesy, here's a guy with a lot of moxie. He sure backs up his fairy tales. All right, I'll go along with you, Clark. Go back to studying your form.
I went through the first three races, reading the names of horses to myself, and looking at their past performances, and nothing. I could feel the growing skepticism of the two men in the room. Come on, Lou. Come on.
You don't come up with a horse soon. Jonesy and me are going to get a little angry.
Sunset Star in the sixth. That's your horse, Jason.
I've got it. Sunset Star in the sixth. You can bet $78,000. Jones left to go into another room, and Smith and I sat and looked at each other. Jones returned and nodded that the bet was down, and we sat and waited with the radio on, waited for the start of the sixth race. When the DJ said, and now for the call at sixth race to take you trackside, there was enough electricity in that room to have lighted the whole hotel.
They're off! On the inside, Pride's Folly, closely followed by Joey's Boy, a length, and then Sunset Star with Kendo, Victor X, and Generalissimo all bunched in the middle of the track. Around the clubhouse turn, it's Joey's Boy ranging up alongside Pride's Folly, a length and a half, and Sunset Star, Generalissimo 2 lengths back along the rail, and Victor X and Kendo. Along the backstretch, Sunset Star is making his move between horses. And now it's Sunset Star, Joey's Boy, and Pride's Folly neck and neck with Generalissimo closing in the center of the track. And now, down the stretch to the finish, it's Sunset Star and neck over Joey's Boy and Pride's Folly. It's Sunset Star and Joey's Boy, and charging up alongside Generalissimo. It's Sunset Star and Generalissimo. Sunset Star and Generalissimo, and it's Generalissimo the winner. Sunset Star second, and a photo between Joey's Boy and Pride's Folly for show money.
Okay, Clark, you showed us how it works.
Lou, what happened? How could you do this to me?
Look, you don't have to put on that Marvin act for us. We figured it right. You didn't have a system. You just got hot and ran the luckiest streak I've ever seen.
Yeah, but the $78,000 that Jones bet.
You don't think we'd have laid $78,000 on a tip from a ghost, do you? We still got all our marbles. Now we got our money back. That's okay. You want my advice? Just don't make any more bets.
When I got back to Hillary's apartment, she took one look at my face and she threw her arms around me joyfully.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
You're glad. You're glad. You're happy I've lost all the money I made?
I don't care about the money. I can see from your face you're out of trouble, and that's all that matters.
I promise not to make another bet.
Oh, that's marvelous. I've got you back again.
Well, you never lost me. But there's one thing that really bugs me and will as long as I live. I know I really heard Lou's voice.
Well, suppose you did. Why should that bother you?
I'll never know. Was he really getting advance information? Or was he just riding a lucky streak?
You've overlooked another possibility, darling.
What's that?
That Lou was truly a wonderful friend who saw what was happening and wanted you and me to live happily and safely ever after.
Some questions to which there are no answers, and I'm sorry that I can't choose for you between the three alternatives and tell you which one was true. There are always skeptics, and they will say that Jason Clark only imagined he heard the voice of his friend. I'll be back with another interesting question shortly.
At Us Magazine, we still believe in the scoop. I'm Porter Bibb, publisher of Us. We knock ourselves out here to give you stories you don't get anywhere else, like the one on Woody Allen, or that great one on John Travolta. Who else had anything like that? The inside story. What's happening? Who's happening? Nobody tells you these things but us.
Nobody tells you who's hot and who's not, and what it takes to be a star today, like the current issue of Us, now on sale. Nobody tells you these things but us.
My brother, a bachelor of science. Congratulations.
Thanks, sis.
Look, Dad, he has a diploma to prove it.
Your mother would have been so proud of you. She always dreamed of your going to college.
Last year, heart attack and stroke killed thousands of mothers under the age of 50. Think of all they'll miss. Are you planning to attend your children's graduation? Help us make sure you do. Give to your American Heart Association. We're fighting for your life.
That intrigues me about today's tale of friendship and the compulsive gambler is, if indeed Lou Marvin was really sending messages from the spirit world to his friend and getting a vicarious pleasure from making bets through Jason, what happened to Lou when he could no longer gamble? Did heaven or Lou make some other arrangement? Cast included Mason Adams, Marion Seldes, Mandel Kramer. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
This book tells you exactly where to find him.
Well, then don't dare go near him.
It reveals his hiding place.
Now, you listen to me. The old man of the rock, he'll make you his slave.
No. Not if you know the magical words.
What magical words?
The magical words that make him your slave.
I don't want another word said about that in this house.
You can make him your slave, and he'll grant you your wish. Whatever you want, he'll make it come true. The old man of the rock. Tomorrow, I'll go to him.
No, Terence. I don't want to be rich.
You do.
Oh, please, Terence. Promise me. Please.
Bridget. I believe I've never seen you so frightened before.
It's because I've never been so frightened before.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time...
Macabre!
Shocks, Midas eyes at Midas.
Next time you feel that way, and you don't know if your car is coming or going, the next time you feel that swerve, it might be a shock that a rock and rolling. Neutralize it, Midas-ize it, at Midas today. The next time you feel that sway, don't compromise.
Midas-ize your car and you'll never have to buy shocks for it again. Because at Midas, if anything ever goes wrong with one of our LifeGuard, SuperGuard, or SpringGuard shocks, we guarantee to replace it free for as long as you own your car.
The next time you feel that sway, don't compromise. Midas-ize.
In case you didn't know, the 46 Chicagoland Midas dealers can install mufflers on most foreign cars with the same expertise with which they've been installing mufflers on American cars for the past 20 years.
Only backwards.
I get a kick out of those Sears ads for their Sears lifetime muffler. Get installed for $19.95, and that was, again, back in the 70s. It doesn't happen that way today.
No, not
at all.
Muffler's, what, a couple hundred?
Probably, yeah.
And
yeah.
What would have happened if you were one of those motorheads, gearheads, who babied your vehicle? And Sears, I think they have maybe one or two brick-and-mortar places left. What happens if you're waving that lifetime warranty in somebody's face? Do they still have to oblige it?
There's a simple thing answer to that. It's called they laugh in your face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's like when you dig up that old rusty Craftsman screwdriver from like 90 years ago and tell them you need a new one.
Yeah.
I bought this back in...
Yeah, and that's funny because people used to 35. Go from yard sale to yard sale looking for Craftsman tools.
Mm-hmm.
On purpose, and if it was bad, they'd take it in, and they would, because for years and years, they did accept that. Now, when Craftsman got bought out, they said, no more. Uh-uh.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Why those dirty? Mm. Why those?
Oh, wow, what a good racket. That's akin to, I hear people go to thrift shops and whatever, before Sirius XM broke up, merged. People would buy the satellite radio for XM and or Sirius, and once you paid, you had a lifetime subscription.
Mm-hmm.
They were very, very optimistic that this would last. But there are some radios, if you can find one, where you can get Sirius XM,
mm-hmm.
and they're obliged, and it will transmit no charge.
Ooh. If there's a deal out there, CW mm-hmm. will help you find it. We should put you in charge of finances around here.
Yes, this is.
Yes. She closes us down.
In charge of finances. Oh, yes. The Treasury is now at zero.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, it's better than being underwater.
But, yes.
It's better than being underwater.
This is CW's corner for finance.
So we have seven make-up Ohio towns here.
Thank you for your comprehensive report. Oh, yeah, Ohio towns used.
Made-up Ohio towns.
Oh, yes, please.
From horror movies. Have you guys figured out any? If you haven't, I'll give you
no.
the town. Maybe you can figure out which movie it was. Okay, here's the name of the fictional Ohio town, Springwood, Ohio.
Springwood, Ohio. What the hell? Springwood, Ohio. What film was that?
Was that is it the, what is it, Night of the Comet or the Chopping Mall?
Actually, that was Clevelander Wes Craven's first Nightmare on Elm Street film.
Really? Oh.
Yep.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Another one. Coolsville, Ohio.
Coolsville, Ohio.
Coolsville.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's not Freddy.
Ohio town made famous in the 2004 Scooby-Doo 2, famous for the monsters of Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed.
Okay.
Next one was Rural, Ohio. Rural, R-U-R-A-L.
Rural, Ohio. That's like most of everything south of Columbus.
And we just insulted half of the state of Ohio. Okay.
That's okay. They don't listen to us, though.
That includes Cincinnati and fans of their teams. There. Nah.
Oh, wow.
The Prodigy movie starts in rural Ohio with the death of a serial killer, Edward Skarka.
Okay. Next Ohio town.
Cool.
Shady Side, Ohio. Which should be Columbus. Yeah, should be Columbus because of all the politicians there. But Shadyside,
yeah.
Ohio.
We used to call it Collinwood.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a village in eastern Belmont County, and there are no evil spirits there, but the creative mind of Ohioan and author R.L. Stine, the town's name was perfect setting for a storyline in his Fear Street series.
Ah, okay.
What is it about Ohio? I mean,
I don't know the name of the town, but the Outer Limits, I'm sorry, the Twilight Zone, rather, with Shatner, where he gets hooked on the fortune machine.
Was that Circleville? It was because Rod Serling spent time in Ohio in going to college and working in Cincinnati, so he would be very familiar.
Yeah, Circleville's not too far, actually.
Right.
There is a Circleville in Ohio.
Next town. Ohio?
Harrington, Ohio.
Which town?
Harrington, Ohio. H-E-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. Let's see.
Track of the Moon Beast. I don't know.
A 1998 sci-fi horror film, The Faculty, is set in fictional Harrington, Ohio.
Yeah. I like that movie. I remember that movie.
I've lost my faculties.
Yeah. Next one, Lillian, Ohio. Lillian, Ohio.
Munster Go Home? No.
What's the problem to deal with? J.J. Abrams' Super 8 film that came out in 2005.
That was a good film. Super 8 was a good
it
film.
Was.
I enjoyed that.
I remember that one.
Reminded me of my ute.
In your ute, yeah. And the number 7, not any particular order, but just be there.
Yeah.
Windsor College. It was Windsor College is located somewhere in Ohio when the cast of Scream 2 enrolled there. That was it. Scream 2.
Okay.
Got any more? We got about a minute and a half left to play with.
I do kind of have a moral from our last story. That will take up a half a minute.
All right, do it up.
Please do.
Yeah, there would be that musical intro, wouldn't there? Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
It's apologies to Gar. Betting on a sure thing from a dead friend isn't necessarily a sure thing. That's all I got.
I don't even know if I'm giving you a sound effect. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
That's because
Flush that toilet.
All right.
There you go.
There you are.
Because he knew it was It was only two sound bites away on the list. Anyway, ooh, I see Garrett has posted that Lay's potato chips now has a new Soylent Green flavor. That's nice. We'll see you next week when we return with stories about coffins. We're going to have coffins.
And watch Gar on Twitch. Watch Gar the Ghoul on Twitch.
Probably going to be a repeat. I don't see anything posted here. So
he's having internet problems, so he may not be there. Yeah.
Yep. So here is most of our outro.
The castle lights are growing dim.
Most of it.
There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When
good night.
Next we meet in Frankenstone.
Her, me, hello.
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
It probably sounded good.
I can hear it. Yeah, definitely dig it. There you are.
It was right before Can You Dig It. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Dirty rotten.
Mm-hmm.
Blog talk, you and your filthy timer being wrong, and I was off anyway in my 6 seconds, which turned into 12 seconds. Which you turned
blog
into,
talk, you, why you, yeah. you.
Don't make us move to Mixcloud, because we might do it.
Oh, yes. There's that. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And we had an eclipse, at least in part of the United States.
It was cloudy in Ohio.
I was going to say you were supposed to be able to see it down in mid-central Ohio, but it's cloudy and spit rain all day today. More of a mist than the rain, but yeah.
Yeah. Just enough to get the dog wet.
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. Like wet collie. Mm-mm-mm.
And then footprints afterwards, yes. Yes.
He's pretty good. He stops and gets toweled down on his way in.
Do you clip him yourself or do you take him to a groomer?
So we brush him at least once a week. That keeps him nice and shiny and keeps the carpet from getting too many collie sprinkles. But he goes to the groomer, I want to say, every 3 months, every three to four months for the toes and to sometimes there's some mats that are just too hard to brush out. And they'll cut them out carefully if they're in real delicate places like under his arms or somewhere that we don't want to take a chance with too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Since we couldn't afford a vet unless absolutely necessary, we learned to invest in those little scissors. And it helped that my mother was, in her youth, a hairdresser, too. So
really?
Yeah, she is.
A noble profession.
A absolutely noble profession, to be certain. Yes, that's, I think hairdressers are actually wannabe spies. You do people's hair and they tell you everything. All this and that and the stock market and insider trading and this and that and the other thing. And, unfortunately, Mom didn't keep notes. I wish she had, they were saying, this little company called Apple. I don't know if I'm going to invest in it or not, but,
You should have plunked a few dollars down, yeah. Would have done all right for yourself.
I think so.
If we had only known.
True.
I've never played in the market. To me, that's too much like gambling. To put a lot of money into, I would not want to ever do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah. In the long run, the market goes up unless the company goes out, But in the long run, market goes up. You got to be in it for the long haul, not for the short haul.
Yeah. I'm at the point of my life where I'm pulling out. Like, even my 401k, I'm keeping it minimum. The only reason I have one is because they match it. So it's like more free money.
Yeah.
But I pull little bits out and just take the taxes on it now. I don't want to have a required minimum distribution, nothing. I want to have all real money. It may not be a lot, but I'll have some.
There you are.
It won't be a lot, but enough to limp us through our retirement, I think, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hope.
Oh,
see, Dave and I are in that age where they kind of yank the rug out from under us. It used to be 65, you'd get your maximum retirement amount. And they moved the goalposts on us, didn't they, Dave?
They did. It's I think it went to 67 now. I think it's 68.
Yeah, for us. And it'll continue to grow, like your social, if you go till you're 70. But it's like, oh, God, who's going to feel like doing that?
Yeah, no.
You're 70.
Not me.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. Now, if you're lucky enough from my generation now, getting a job remote where, you know, you get up, you brush your teeth, take a shower, put a fresh pair of pajamas on, go to your keyboard, and work remotely.
Doing that now, quite honestly. And I'm getting tired of it.
Are you?
Yeah, I use my hands a lot. I have hand pain. It's just getting old. I use Aleve and Tiger Balm. You know what Tiger Balm is?
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's actually very good. It's soothing. It's menthol and what else? What's the other? Oh, camphor. It's camphor and menthol.
Camphor. Try topical, not the tincture where you take it. I don't know if it's legal in Ohio, but topical CBD.
I might try it.
It's
There's a CBD shop. They're in the cigarette shop where I get my generic.
Oh, teeth. Well, there you go. Just, you know,
and they're poised for action. They're taking the vote here in Ohio to make it recreational.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Oh,
so
you can buy your bottle of Jim Beam Wild Turkey and a little bit of the Acapulco Gold on the side.
On the way home, yeah. Acapulco Gold. Oh, God, I haven't heard that since Dr. Hook days. Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, they were fun.
Oh, I saw an online play of Sweet Charity, and that's where they sing that song.
Which one, Acapulco Goldie?
Sammy Davis Jr. sings it about finding a new religion. Yeah. No, not that one. It's you have to look it up. Same guy, different song. I'll look it up on YouTube. It's a fun production.
Yep.
But yeah, I was looking at a student's play of that, and they kept that lyric in there. Why shouldn't they? Because it's more legal now than it was then when they did the original play.
Oh yeah. It's amazing how many things that were taboo are now like commonplace.
Yeah, no kidding. So Acapulco Gold is mentioned in I've heard of Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. You mean Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show or the Old Crow Medicine Show?
No, Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show was a band. They had a number of drug-related songs. One of them was Acapulco Goldie. The other was I got stoned and I missed it.
Did they do the one Mama Told Me Not to Come? Is that them?
No, that's Three Dog Night.
That was Three Dog Night. A Randy Newman song.
Oh.
They also did, they were the ones that did the Rolling Stones.
Randy
right?
Newman wrote that one?
Randy Newman wrote that, yeah.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Short. Short People, Randy Newman? I Love
Short
L.A.,
people, Randy
Newman,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I can't see that either.
And another Three Dog Night hit was written by Paul Williams. One was written by Paul Williams.
Yep. He was popular in the 70s.
Yeah.
John Williams as a writer and as a performer.
Oh, no. Paul Williams, yeah.
Paul Williams.
And his
the short guy. The short guy.
Little Enos Burdett. He was Little Enos Burdett.
Was that on the Wild Wild West?
Nope, Smokey and the Bandit.
Ah, Smokey the Bandit. That's right. Okay.
He was the little guy that was dressed the same as the big guy.
And he was in several Wild Wild West, and they matched him with tall Pat McCormick.
Yes. That's who that's who Big Enos Burdett was, Pat McCormick.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I think so. In
he was in, we're talking about the Western Wild Wild West with...
The original TV show. The original TV show, yeah.
Was this after Ross Martin was replaced by Charles Aidman?
Charles Aidman replaced Ross Jordan on Wild Wild West?
No, Ross Martin. Ross Martin was Artemus Gordon in the Western.
Right, in Wild Wild
West. But he'd always had heart problems, and his heart had really gone wonkity-wonkity, so he had to bow out. He was replaced by Charles Aidman.
I like Charles. I don't remember that. That's cool. I like Charles Aidman. He had such a great distinctive voice. I really like that.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons they got him, and he had kind of the same sort of facial features where he could do different disguises just like Ross Martin.
Okay.
Cool.
So, yes, another interesting bit of education from the Erie House Educational School of, I guess
cool.
it's for something.
Cool stuff. Here's an interesting blurb from a website or a Facebook page, Boris Karloff, More Than a Monster. 14th of October, 1968, Karloff films his appearance on the Jonathan Winters Show, which aired October 30th. It's Karloff's final engagement. So his last film, I think, was Targets, which was released that year. I think that was his final film, and I guess that was his final engagement.
He had one last film, a B film, that was filmed out of Mexico. He passed away before it was released, but that was the final one.
He did film like three movies at a time, that one set. I'm not sure which one came first.
They say he was in rough shape. I mean, he was in his wheelchair until he had to act, and then he'd get up like nothing's wrong and then sit down exhausted when he was done working.
There's an adrenaline that goes through people when that camera comes on. I know that when we did our last Christmas song, Al and I had already recorded it before the voice part, before we filmed it. And right after we recorded the voice part, Al got pneumonia. And we really couldn't hold the filming back too much longer. So we got there, and I had a chair right there for him the whole time. And then when he knew his time was coming up to do it, he just jumped right up and do it and sit back down and go, ugh. You know, it's just, there's an adrenaline that rolls when you know you're on. Whether
it's being
on stage
on.
Or on camera.
There's something about being on that gives you that boost.
Yeah.
I think that's what kept me alive in my disc jockey days. Because I inhaled a lot of alcohol at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a miracle I survived.
Gentlemen, with that, I don't want to press my luck because the signal is still strong. I can still hear you. I take it you can still hear me.
Yep.
And that means
we're
going to hear somebody else in just about a minute.
We are indeed. From the great beyond, it's a safe bet. Mr. Durante, the stage belongs to you.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to...
Good night. Night, Goaty Goat.
What more is this say?
We wait for you.
Oh, there you are, Goats.
And it's time for Toodaloo.
Good night, Mr. Pickle.
Rainbow, we the same. And
eat the
cookie.
Good
night. Good night.
Oh, there's the Yuli Pickle.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
And Mrs. Calabash, if you happen to have the winning lotto tickets, we're listening.
Calabash. Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
Good for them.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
I will. Thanks.
Come back now, dear.